from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. As coronavirus cases mount and the state marks its first confirmed virus death, Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a statewide emergency. Here's the governor at a press conference yesterday talking about what that means.
The proclamation is to serve to help advance our resources, to loosen up our regulatory environment, to move forward with our kind of procurement that's necessary with the sense of urgency on medical supplies or other monitoring or suppression efforts that would allow us to move forward without any hurdles.
The governor also confirmed 53 people in the state have tested positive for the coronavirus, and 9,400 Californians are being monitored, up from about 8,400 a few days ago. California's first coronavirus fatality was a 71-year-old man from Placer County in Northern California. It's believed he contracted the virus while aboard a cruise ship last month sailing between San Francisco and Mexico. Public health officials are trying to track down the 2,500 other passengers who were aboard the Princess Cruises vessel at the same time. The ship is now being held off the coast of California, with the Coast Guard delivering coronavirus test kits to it today. KQED's Tara Seiler reports.
Princess Cruises issued a statement that the Centers for Disease Control is investigating a small cluster of COVID-19 cases in Northern California. Among them, passengers on a round-trip voyage from San Francisco to Mexico last month. One of those passengers has died from the virus. A second is being treated in Sonoma County. But the situation gets more complicated because 62 of the passengers remained on board for another trip to Hawaii. Governor Gavin Newsom says test kits are now being flown to the ship.
We'll be flying them out off the coast. As I said, we're now into a turnaround of roughly 4 hours for testing. We have testing facilities just right here in our own backyard.
Newsom says those tests will be taken to a lab in Richmond for processing.
That was KQED's Tara Seiler reporting. Meanwhile, Los Angeles County has declared a local health emergency in response to the coronavirus. The news was partly prompted by the detection of the virus in six L.A. County residents in recent days. That includes a screener at LAX. At a press conference, L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti underscored the critical importance of public assistance to combat coronavirus.
This isn't just something for government to do alone. But it's critically important in our workplaces, critically important in our households, that we each take responsibility for slowing the spread of what we know is now here and will be here.
Mayor Garcetti urged people to take simple steps like avoiding unnecessary touching or staying home from work if sick with flu-like symptoms. This week, two new coronavirus cases were also recorded in Orange County. A lot of parents are worried about what kind of risk coronavirus poses to their children. KQED's Leslie McClurg has some reassuring news.
Usually, diseases hit young kids and older adults the hardest. But the initial reports out of China, where experts think the novel coronavirus began, show that children had milder symptoms than adults. Dr. Lee Atkinson McAvoy is a pediatrician at UCSF.
None of the children under the age of 10 as of February 11th, died from coronavirus.
Infants appear to recover well, too. In a very small sample of babies who were hospitalized from the coronavirus, Dr. Atkinson McAvoy says,
none of these kids required mechanical ventilation or intensive care.
And they all recovered. History also offers reassurance. Limited data show that kids were not particularly susceptible to the SARS outbreak in 2003. That virus is in the same family as this new disease. Most people who have died from the new coronavirus are older people in China, many of whom had pre-existing health conditions. And for context, this year's flu has killed more than 100 children in the U.S. But it's still early. There's a lot to learn about why most kids aren't getting as sick as adults from the new coronavirus. But regardless, children should stay home from school if they're ill and wash their hands frequently with hot soapy water. Hand sanitizer can work in a pinch. For the California Report, I'm Leslie McClurg.
Okay, let's talk politics. What the heck happened on Election Day this week in Los Angeles County? Many voters had to stand in line for hours, and there were reports of glitchy equipment. Even though LA County was using new touchscreen machines that were supposed to make voting faster and more convenient. Here to talk about what happened is Kim Alexander, president of the California Voter Foundation. So, Kim, briefly, what went wrong in LA?
They had a lot of challenges in LA. There's no doubt about it. They had connectivity problems with the network. They had a big bottleneck of trying to get people through the sign-in tables. The system was very slow. And, you know, we moved in LA and in other counties from paper rosters to e-poll books. And so that really seemed to slow down the process.
In light of problems this week with voting, one L.A. County supervisor has asked for an investigation. What would you look into first?
Well, I think the L.A. County Board of Supervisors has a big job to do. I think that they did not do due diligence on the front end of this system. The questions I would have asked then and that they might want to consider asking now is, why were ballot on demand printers not available at vote centers? Why weren't all voters mailed vote by mail ballots in advance of the election? I mean, I know LA has a grace period in the law that allows them to phase in 100% mail ballot delivery. But in light of what we saw and the challenges that voters faced in LA and the long lines, hopefully the county is going to reconsider that strategy and think about the need to make paper ballots available more widely to voters in Los Angeles.
And finally, if someone goes to vote and they have a confusing or exasperating experience, what's the long-term impact of that?
People can have lots of positive voting experiences, but if there's one time they go and vote and they're not able to vote or they're not able to vote the ballot that they wanted to vote or for the candidate they wanted to vote for, I mean, I keep thinking about the people who waited in line and how grateful I am that people were willing to do that, but also the people who drove by voting sites on election night and saw those long lines and the traffic and thought, you know, there's no way I'm going to get out of my car and stand in the cold and go and do that. So we have got to do better for California voters before November.
That's Kim Alexander, president of the California Voter Foundation. Kim, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, offering financial planning with registered advisors and serving over 2 million people with online financial tools. PersonalCapital.com. Paint Care, now with 770 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
Let's talk more about lessons learned from Tuesday's California presidential primary. Latinos voted in monster numbers for Bernie Sanders. But why? KQED politics reporter Katie Orr looks at how he earned their support.
At a rally in San Jose the weekend before California's primary, Bernie Sanders supporters were getting pumped up for the coming election. Among them was Abby Gonzalez, a longtime Bernie fan.
I've been feeling the burn since 2016 when I was a college student, and I'm working currently at a university, and I just feel like his policies and his energy is still relevant and much needed.
That's exactly the energy Sanders' campaign is trying to generate with voters in general and Latinos in particular. The campaign had an extensive ground game in California and reached out to Latino voters in places other candidates rarely show up.
Places like Fresno City College, Roosevelt High School in East LA.
Christian Arana is with the Latino Community Foundation. He says the Sanders campaign made a concerted effort to reach Latinos in the communities where they live. And he says the campaign realized it needed to focus on more than just immigration issues.
The Latino Community Foundation actually released a poll on the eve of the California primary in partnership with Univision and Latino Decisions. And we found that lowering the cost of health care was the top issue for Latinos in the state. It wasn't immigration, although immigration is a very big issue for us, but it was health care.
But there are differences among Latino voters. For instance, while the foundation's poll found nearly half of those aged 18 to 49 planned to vote for Sanders, just 28% of voters 50 and older were supporting him. USC sociology professor Manuel Pastor says the divides grow when you consider the Latino populations in other states. Texas, for example.
It's pretty clear that Sanders did less well in Texas. Texas, it's a more conservative Hispanic voting population, one that's a bit more traditional. On the other hand, California has a younger, more left-leaning Latino population.
And Sanders faces additional challenges. His top opponent, former Vice President Joe Biden, has proven he can count on support from other large voting blocs, including African Americans. And Paul Mitchell, with the bipartisan voter data company Political Data, says it remains to be seen whether Sanders can draw enough new voters to the polls to remain competitive.
One of his big selling points was that he was going to be getting people to turn out that hadn't turned out in a presidential primary in years, and he was going to turn out voters who might be lower income, renters, students. And I think from the other early states, it's still an open question as to whether or not his candidacy was effectively doing that in the primary.
Mitchell points out if Sanders wants to prove he can expand the electorate, he only has a few more states to make it happen. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, March 5th. I'm Saul Gonzalez in L.A. Have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, offering financial planning with registered advisors and serving over 2 million people with online financial tools. PersonalCapital.com. PaintCare, now with 770 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.